Chapter 55. Meantime, Ace and Lena, walking rather fast, approached Wang's hut. Asking the girl to wait, Ace descended the little ladder of bamboos giving access to the door. It was as he had expected. The smoky interior was empty, except for a big chest of sandalwood too heavy for hurried removal. Its lid was thrown up, but whatever it might have contained was no longer there. All Wang's possessions were gone. Without tarrying in the hut, Ace came back to the girl, who asked no questions, with her strange air of knowing or understanding everything. "Let us push on," he said. He went ahead, the rustle of her white skirt following him into the shades of the forest, along the path of their usual walk. Though the air lay heavy between straight denuded trunks, the sunlit patches moved on the ground, and raising her eyes Lena saw far above her head the flutter of the leaves, the surface shudder on the mighty limbs extended horizontally in the perfect immobility of patience. Twice Ace looked over his shoulder at her. Behind the readiness of her answering smile there was a fund of devoted, concentrated passion, burning with the hope of a more perfect satisfaction. They passed the spot, where it was their practice, to turn towards the barren summit of the central hill. Ace held steadily on his way towards the upper limit of the forest. The moment they left its shelter, a breeze enveloped them, and a great cloud, racing over the sun, threw a peculiar somber tint over everything. Ace pointed up a precipitous, rugged path clinging to the side of the hill. It ended in a barricade of felled trees, a primitively conceived obstacle which must have cost much labor to erect at just that spot. "This," Ace explained in his urbane tone, "is a barrier against the march of civilization. The poor folk over there did not like it, as it appeared to them in the shape of my company a great step forward, as some people used to call it with mistaken confidence. The advanced foot has been drawn back, but the barricade remains." They went on climbing slowly. The cloud had driven over, leaving an added brightness on the face of the world. "It's a very ridiculous thing," Haste went on. "But then it is the product of honest fear, fear of the unknown, of the incomprehensible. It's pathetic too, in a way. And I heartily wish, Lena, that we were on the other side of it." "Oh, stop, stop," she cried, seizing his arm. The face of the barricade they were approaching had been piled up with a lot of fresh-cut branches. The leaves were still green. A gentle breeze, sweeping over the top, stirred them a little. But what had startled the girl was the discovery of several spear blades protruding from the mass of foliage. As he had made them out suddenly. They did not gleam, but she saw them with extreme distinctness, very still, very vicious to look at. "You had better let me go forward alone, Lena," said Est. She tugged persistently at his arm, but after a time, during which he never ceased to look smilingly into her terrified eyes, he ended by disengaging himself. "It's a sign, rather than a demonstration," he argued, persuasively. "Just wait here a moment. I promise not to approach near enough to be stabbed." As in a nightmare she watched Haste go up the few yards of the path, as if he never meant to stop. And she heard his voice, like voices heard in dreams, shouting unknown words in an unearthly tone. Haste was only demanding to see Wang. He was not kept waiting very long. Recovering from the first flurry of her fright, Lena noticed a commotion in the green top dressing of the barricade. She exhaled a sigh of relief when the spear blades retreated out of sight, sliding inward the horrible things. In a spot facing Haste, a pair of yellow hands parted the leaves, and a face filled the small opening, a face with very noticeable eyes. It was Wang's face, of course, with no suggestion of a body belonging to it, like those cardboard faces at which she remembered gazing as a child in the window of a certain dim shop kept by a mysterious little man in Kingsland Road. Only this face, instead of mere holes, had eyes which blinked. She could see the beating of the eyelids. The hands on each side of the face, keeping the boughs apart, also did not look as if they belonged to any real body. One of them was holding a revolver, a weapon which she recognized merely by intuition, never having seen such an object before. She leaned her shoulders against the rock of the perpendicular hillside, and kept her eyes on Est, with comparative composure, since the spears were not menacing him any longer. Beyond the rigid and motionless back he presented to her, she saw Wang's unreal cardboard face moving its thin lips and grimacing artificially. She was too far down the path to hear the dialogue, carried on in an ordinary voice. She waited patiently for its end. Her shoulders felt the warmth of the rock. Now and then a whiff of cooler air seemed to slip down upon her head from above. The ravine at her feet, choked fun of vegetation, emitted the faint, drowsy hum of insect life. Everything was very quiet. She failed to notice the exact moment when Wang's head vanished from the foliage, taking the unreal hands away with it. To her horror, the spear blades came gliding slowly out. The very hair on her head stirred, but before S.E. had time to cry out, Est, who seemed rooted to the ground, turned round abruptly and began to move towards her. His great mustaches did not quite hide an ugly but irresolute smile, and when he had come down near enough to touch her, he burst out into a harsh laugh. Ha, ha, ha! She looked at him, uncomprehending. He cut short his laugh and said curtly, We had better go down as we came. She followed him into the forest. The advance of the afternoon had filled it with gloom. Far away a slant of light between the trees closed the view. All was dark beyond. Est stopped. No reason to hurry, Lena, he said in his ordinary, serenely polite tones. E return unsuccessful. I suppose you know, or at least can guess, what was my object in coming up there. No, I can't guess, dear, she said, and smiled, noticing with emotion that his breast was heaving, as if he had been out of breath. Nevertheless, he tried to command his speech, pausing only a little between the words. No? I went up to find Wang. I went up, he gasped again here, but this was for the last time, made you come with me, because I didn't like to leave you unprotected in the proximity of those fellows. Suddenly he snatched his cork helmet off his head, and dashed it on the ground. Oh! He cried roughly. This is too unreal altogether. It isn't to be borne. I can't protect you. I haven't the power. He glared at her for a moment, then hastened after his hat which had bounded away to some distance. He came back looking at her face, which was very white. I ought to beg your pardon for these antics, he said, adjusting his hat. Movement of childish petulance. Indeed, I feel very much like a child in my ignorance, in my powerlessness, in my want of resource, in everything except in the dreadful consciousness of some evil hanging over your head yours. It's you they are after, she murmured. No doubt, but unfortunately what? Unfortunately, I have not succeeded with Wang, he said. Failed to move his celestial heart, that is, if there is such a thing. He told me with horrible Chinese reasonableness that he could not let us pass the barrier because we should be pursued. He doesn't like fights. He gave me to understand that he would shoot me with my own revolver without any sort of compunction, rather than risk a rude and distasteful contest with the strange barbarians for my sake. He has preached to the villagers. They respect him. He is the most remarkable man they have ever seen, and their kinsman by marriage. They understand his policy. And anyway, only women and children, and a few old fellows are left in the village. This is the season when the men are away in trading vessels. But it would have been all the same. None of them have a taste for fighting, and with white men too. They are peaceable, kindly folk, and would have seen me shot with extreme satisfaction. Wang seemed to think my insistence, for I insisted, you know, very stupid and tactless. But a drowning man clutches at straws. We were talking in such Malay as we are both equal to. Your fears are foolish, apostrophe I said to him. Foolish? Of course I am foolish, apostrophe he replied. If I were a wise man, I would be a merchant with a big home in Singapore, instead of being a mine coolie turned houseboy. But if you don't go away in time, I will shoot you before it grows too dark to take aim. Not till then, number one, but I will do it then. Now finish. Apostrophe, all right, apostrophe I said. Finish as far as I am concerned. But you can have no objections to the Memputa coming over to stay with the Orankaya's women for a few days. I will make a present in silver for it. Apostrophe apostrophe Orankaya is the head man of the village, Lena added haste. She looked at him in astonishment. You wanted me to go to that village of savages? She gasped. Who wanted me to leave you? It would have given me a freer hand. Haste stretched out his hands and looked at them for a moment, then let them fall by his side. Indignation was expressed more in the curve of her lips than in her clear eyes, which never wavered. I believe Wang laughed, he went on. He made a noise like a turkey cock. That would be worse than anything, apostrophe he told me. I was taken aback. I pointed out to him that he was talking nonsense. It could not make any difference to his security where you were, because the evil men, as he calls them, did not know of your existence. I did not lie exactly, Lena, though I did stretch the truth till it cracked, but the fellow seems to have an uncanny insight. He shook his head. He assured me they knew all about you. He made a horrible grimace at me. It doesn't matter, said the girl. Didn't want I would not have gone. Haste raised his eyes. Wonderful intuition. As I continued to press him, Wang made that very remark about you. When he smiles, his face looks like a conceited death's head. It was his very last remark, that you wouldn't want to. I went away then. She leaned back against a tree. Haste faced her in the same attitude of leisure, as if they had done with time, and all the other concerns of the earth. Suddenly, high above their heads the roof of leaves whispered at them tumultuously and then ceased. That was a strange notion of yours, to send me away, she said. Send me away? What for? Yes, what for? You seem indignant, he remarked listlessly. To these savages too, she pursued. And do you think I would have gone? You can do what you like with me but not that, not that. Haste looked into the dim aisles of the forest. Everything was so still now that the very ground on which they stood seemed to exhale silence into the shade. Why be indignant, he remonstrated. Tea has not happened. I gave up pleading with Wang. Here we are, repulsed. Not only without power to resist the evil, but unable to make terms for ourselves with the worthy envoys, the envoys extraordinary of the world we thought we had done with for years and years. And that's bad, Lena, very bad. It's funny, she said thoughtfully. Ad? I suppose it is. I don't know that it is. But do you? Do you? You talk as if you didn't believe in it. She gazed at him earnestly. Do I? Ah. That's it. I don't know how to talk. I have managed to refine everything away. I've said to the earth that bore me. I am I and you are a shadow. Apostrophe apostrophe, and, by Jove, it is so. But it appears that such words cannot be uttered with impunity. Here I am on the shadow inhabited by shades. How helpless a man is against the shades. How is one to intimidate, persuade, resist, assert oneself against them? I have lost all belief in realities. Lena, give me your hand. She looked at him surprised, uncomprehending. Your hand, he cried. She obeyed. He seized it with avidity, as if eager to raise it to his lips, but halfway up released his grasp. They looked at each other for a time. What's the matter, dear? She whispered timidly. Neither force nor conviction, Haste muttered wearily to himself. How am I to meet this charmingly simple problem? I am sorry, she murmured. And so am I, he confessed quickly. And the bitterest of this humiliation is its complete uselessness which I feel. S. He had never before seen him give such signs of feeling. Across his ghastly face the long mustaches flamed in the shade. He spoke suddenly. I wonder if I could find enough courage to creep among them in the night with a knife and cut their throats one after another as they slept. I wonder, she was frightened by his unwonted appearance more than by the words in his mouth, and said earnestly, don't you try to do such a thing. Don't you think of it. I don't possess anything bigger than a penknife. As to thinking of it, Lena, there's no saying what one may think of. I don't think. Something in me thinks something foreign to my nature. What is the matter? He noticed her parted lips, and the peculiar stare in her eyes, which had wandered from his face. There's somebody after us. I saw something white moving, she cried. Hex did not turn his head. He only glanced at her outstretched. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.